Okay, just Monday, January the 6th, 2020, Brachot Daf Gimel. Okay, so let's just do a quick review of what we learned yesterday. We saw there's a debate in the Mishnah three times when you end saying Kriyat Shema. Apparently, the beginning, the Mishnah only has one opinion. When Kohanim go to Itruma, either you say it until one third of the night, till midnight, or the whole day, the whole night, and that has to do with how do you interpret Bishopacha. It didn't mean while people are going to sleep, mean up till 10 o'clock, or while people are sleeping, that's all night, and then we're worried that people make mistakes and not say it, so we insist they say it by Chatzot. Then the Gemara discussed, how do you know, what do you mean, May Eimetai, when they say Shema? What do you mean when they say Shema? You have to know that you say Shema. So the Gemara says, B'shofucha ukumech, and that's the same reason we start at night. We don't start in the daytime, and also Vayhi Erev, Vayhi Boker teaches that we start at the night. And then the Gemara said, but we go to the daytime for the bracha. We go A-B-B-A. Okay, and then the Gemara had a whole discussion. They brought in a whole bunch of other opinions. What's the chiddush of the Mishnah? That the Kohanim can eat truma even though they have not brought a korban yet. Even though they have yet to bring a korban, once they go to mikvah, they can still eat truma, even though it's not a complete purity yet. Then we saw a whole bunch of opinions, a whole bunch of different opinions, when we can say Shema, when's the beginning time to say Shema. So the Koran, which I downloaded, has a very nice summary, just to very quickly go over the different views of when you can say it. And the Gemara wants to equate the views, when a poor person goes in, when a Kohen eats, etc. So they said the first view of Rabbi Eliezer, when it's really a debate whether it depends on nightfall or when people go to bed. They may not be the same thing. So Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion when it's Shabbos time. The time that Shabbat begins, that's the beginning of the night, that's when you take Kriyat Shema. Rav Yehoshua is of the opinion when the Kohanim can eat Truma, that means night is a little bit later. Night doesn't begin at Shkiat HaChama, at sunset, but night begins much later, at Seid HaKochavim. And then Rav Meir says when the Kohanim go to the mikvah, that's a little bit earlier, and that's also night. The other two opinions, when a poor person goes to eat, or when a regular person goes to eat, you saw those opinions, you need, that has nothing to do with nightfall. Bishopacha doesn't mean at night, it means when you go to sleep. Some people go to sleep in the day, some people go to sleep. So that's a fundamental dispute. When is the beginning time to say Kriyat Shema? Is it dependent on night? We assume that Maariv is night. But you have to remember, Kriyat Shema and Tefillah are two, I don't want to say unrelated mitzvot, but two distinct mitzvot. The best way we know that is you can say Kriyat Shema in the morning till a quarter of the day, let's say till 9 o'clock in the morning on a perfect day, 6 to 6, sunrise to sunset, so you have a quarter of the day till 9 o'clock, in Daven until 10 o'clock. So you see, Kriyat Shema and Tefillah are two unrelated mitzvot. We put it together, so it's not necessarily Maariv, maybe has to be at night, Tefillah Maariv, but Kriyat Shema, maybe not. Kriyat Shema is when people go to sleep. If you go to bed early in the summer, who stays up till 10 o'clock at night? People may want to go to bed earlier, so they can say Shema early. So that's an interesting argument. Okay, let's start the top. I just think it's a nice idea to briefly review what we did the day before. So we're top of Gimel Amud Aleph, Kasha the Rav Meir, the Rav Meir. So the Gemara quoted two opinions of Rav Meir. When's the earliest time to say Kriyat Shema? Is it when Bnei Adam Nichnasim Lechol Pitam Be'er Shabbos, when they go to eat the meal on Friday, which is earlier? Or is it when the Kohanim, go to the mikvah, which is earlier than Bein Hashmashot, earlier than Shabbos begins? So the Gemara says, Kasha de Rav Meir, the Meir. So the Gemara says, Trei Tanai Aliba de Rav Meir. This is an interesting idea that we don't know what Rav Meir said. Rav Meir lived 300 years earlier than when the Gemara is edited. So there were two opinions on what Rav Meir said. It's not the end of the world that you have. It's not a great answer, but when the Gemara sort of is stuck, they presented, must be two people were not sure, and they argue what Rav Meir said. Then the Gemara says the same question, Kashi Rav Elezer, the Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer, and our Mishnah says, he was the first person quoted in the Mishnah, Mishasha Kohanim Nichnasim Lechol B'Trumah, when the Kohanim go to eat. And in the Braita, he was quoted as when it's Kiddush time, when Shabbos begins. That's earlier than the time the Kohanim go in. So the same idea, two opinions, Rav Elezer. So the Gemara gives the same opinion. Trail Tanai Aliba the Rabbi Elezer. Two opinions, what Rabbi Elezer says. The Gemara says, not necessarily. Vibaydeima Reisha Lev Rabbi Elezer. The first part of the Mishnah might not be Rabbi Eliezer. The Mishnah says, "Me'ei matai korim teshma ba'arvit." When do you say Shema at night? Mishasha konim nichnasim lechol b'trumatam. And then it says, "Ad sof ashmor rishonat divrei Rabbi Eliezer." So the Gemara, we all assume that Rabbi Eliezer said the whole thing. It could be no. It could be when do you say Shema? Mishasha konim nichnasim lechol b'trumatam. That's not Rabbi Eliezer. That's Tam. When the end, Rabbi Eliezer says, Sof Hashmur Rishona. So it could be Rabbi Eliezer expressed no opinion in the Mishnah when you begin the Shema, and therefore you don't have a debate. So the Gemara would prefer not to say there are two opinions of Rabbi Eliezer. That's why the Gemara gives that answer. Okay, we're finished with that topic. Right now, At Sof HaAshmura. Very nice. What does Ashmura mean? What's an Ashmura? Watch. So what does that mean? Until the end of the first watch. What does that mean? So that's it. So the Gemara says, my kasavar. So apparently there are things that go on at night. Night is just not one time period. Night is, the Gemara is going to say, is it going to be three time periods or four periods at night? And the Gemara is assuming there's some earthly comparison. There's something goes on earth and something goes on in the heavens at different points in the evenings. And that's what the Gemara is saying. Ashmura is often associated with changing of the guard. You know, like Buckingham Palace. When do we change things? But let's see. My kasava Rabbi Eliezer. So what does Rabbi Eliezer hold? That you can say Kriyat Shema till the end of the first Ashmura. I kasava shalosh mishmarot habe laila. If he's of the opinion there were three watches at night. So leimat arba shoot. The night is 12 hours, right? So say till 10 o'clock. Why do you have to give this backward answer? Vi kasava arba mishmarot. And if he holds there are four watches at night, Lema at shalosh shoot, let him say till three. So I saw in the Koran Talmud, he brings down that this is a machloka between the Greeks and the Romans. It had to do with the changing of the guard. So the Greeks did it one way and the Romans the other way. One was three, one was four. And that's the argument in the Gemara. How do we do it? Like the Greeks or the Romans? Very interesting. But anyways, is it three or four mishmarot? Do you stop saying Kriyat Shema at 9 o'clock at night or 10 o'clock at night? So the Gemara says, La'olam kasavar, Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion, Shalosh mishmarot habe laila. There are three watches at night. Baha kamashmalan, what's he teaching us? The Ika, so why does he say at sof ashmur rishona? The same way the Gemara said, why don't you just say Kriyat Shema at Seid HaKochavim? Gemara says, no, I want to teach you Kohanim can eat Truma at Seid HaKochavim. So to hear, I want to teach you something else. I could have said until 10 o'clock, but I want to teach you about the idea of what's an Ashmura. I want to teach you there's something more to the thing than till 10 o'clock. What am I teaching you? HaKamashmalan, the Ika Mishmarot Birakia. There are watches in the heavens. Ika Mishmarot Ba'ara. And their watches on the earth. Ditanya, because we learned in a Braita, by the way, just so you should know, whenever the word Tnan, Tanya, Tana Rabbanan, that all means it's a Tanaitic, you know, source, which means these are the basically six generations of rabbis, culminating with Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi in the year approximately 220. He had it's a Mishnah. Tnan means it's in the Mishnah. Tanya means it's in a Braita. As we'll discover, please God, the Talmud was edited with great precision, and the language they use is exact language. People think it's not, you know, it goes off on tangents. It's not true at all. So Ditanya means it's in a Braita, which means you will not find it in the Mishnah anywhere. Whenever it says Tnan, means you're going to find it in the Mishnah. You can look it up. We don't have a lot of the Braitot anymore. The Braitot were Mishnaic sources or same sources, but it wasn't included. Rabbi Yehuda and Nazi couldn't include everything. So they were not included. So they're considered slightly less authoritative than the Mishnah, but pretty much authoritative. The Gemara will often quote a question from a Braita to a Mishnah. And anyway, so we learned in the Braita. The Gemara is quoting the Braita. Rabbi Eliezer Amer, Shalosh Mishmarot Habe Laila. There are three watches at night. This is a Balkol Mishmar Mishmar. And at each one of these watches, Yoshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God is sitting, very anthropomorphistic in a Gemara. Bishoei Kari, he's roaring like a lion. Shenemar Hashem Mimarom Yishag. God roars from on high. Umimaon kodsho yiten kolo shaog yishag. It uses the term shaog to roar three times. So that's a reference to three time periods at night that God is roaring like a lion, whatever that means. Well, it's v'siman ledavar. How do you know when these three mishmarot are? They didn't have any watches. Mishmar rishona, the first watch, chamor no er. A donkey makes its noises. Shniyah klavim soakim, the dogs bark. We know that there was a miracle of lo yachretz kelev lishono, that when the Jewish people left Egypt, the dogs didn't bark at night. Apparently in the ancient world, I guess here too, but you notice it more, dogs used to bark at midnight, the Jewish three people, the beginning of the Exodus. The dogs didn't bark that night. And I think the Gemara says that's why the dogs get a reward. What's the reward of the dogs? When you have a piece of non-kosher meat, you throw the meat, it says in the Gemara, if you have a trape, give it to the dogs. That's a reward. It's not that the dogs can eat that meat. Anyways, so at the second watch, the dogs are barking. Shlishit tinok yonek miste imo. Infant is nursing from his mother. The isha misaperet imbala. Very interesting. And a husband and wife are talking in bed. The husband and wife, that's what they do. That people used to get up early, but a little before they got out of bed, the husband and wife isha misaperet imbala. I'm sorry. Yeah, this is very romantic. Mara, yeah. I tell people everything is in the Gemara. You don't need movies, you don't need anything. It's got unbelievable. Everything you want, you're going to find in the Gemara. Micah Chashiv Rabbi Eliezer. So what does Rabbi Eliezer think? These are the three signs. I don't need three signs. Why don't I need three signs? Because I know when the first sign is. It's when it gets dark. I know when the last sign is, when it gets light in the morning. I don't need all the signs. So Micah Chashiv Rabbi Eliezer. Itchilat Mishmarot. If these signs are at 6 o'clock, 10 o'clock, and 2 o'clock, right, each of the first three parts of the night, Chilat Mishmara Rishona Siman Alamali. Why do I need a sign for the first one? It's when it gets dark. Or Tahu, it's nightfall. And if you're going to tell me it's the end, 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and 6 o'clock, Isof Mishmara Kachashiv, Sof Mishmara Chwan Alamali. Why do I need to tell me when the last watch is? Simana Yamamahu, and when it's daybreak. I don't need three markers. I only need two markers to let us when to know. Ella Kachashiv, so the Gemara gives two answers. First one's a sort of a kvetchy answer, which is why the Gemara has to give a second answer. The Gemara wants to say, Chashiv Sof Mishmara Rishona. So the one about the donkeys, that's at 10 o'clock at night. You don't know when 10 o'clock at night is. You don't know when the first third is then. Utchilat Mishmara Chorna, and the other one is at 2 in the morning. You don't know when the third Mishmar is. What about the middle one? Vamsait, at midnight. And then the third one is at midnight. So you have one at 10 o'clock, one at 12 o'clock, and one at 2 a.m. V'baideima kulu sof mishmara kachashiv. Or if you want, say, no, it's 10, 2, and 6. So why do you need the last one? V'chiteima achrona lo tzarich. You don't need a sign to know when the last night is end. You look outside. It's light. L'may napkamina. For what purpose do we need it? V'baideima kulu mishmara kachashiv. V'chiteima achrona lo tzarich. So no, you do need it. Somebody's in a dark house. He's in the basement and there's no light. There's no light coming in. So he needs to know when he hears, I don't exactly know who he's hearing, who's talking, but when he hears people are beginning to talk or the baby's crying, a baby is nursing, then he knows even if he can't see outside, that's the beginning of the morning. Beloya does man kriyachma, he doesn't know when kriyachma, aimat, when it is. Kevandisha misaparin bala, since the husband and wife are talking to each other. Betinok yodeg, mishne imo, the baby is nursing from his mother. It's interesting, I don't know if they're going on at the same time. Are these two different things? Or the husband and wife are talking, while the wife is nursing, she's talking to her husband. But if you read Ilana Kirshen's book, All the Seas Are Ink on Daf Yomi, it's a fascinating book. She's really quite an interesting book. So she wrote, when she used to feed her baby, she used to learn Gemara. She used to walk on the street with a Gemara and she used to nurse her babies and went holding the baby in one hand and in the other hand holding a Gemara. It's not exactly normal, but it's interesting. Gemara puts them two together. So Likam Alikra, he can get up and read. Okay. So that's the Gemara, how you know when the time is. It's very interesting. The whole beginning of the Nesek is all about time. And all about night. People didn't know how to tell time. And night was scary. Night always is scary. Yaakov Avinu was running away. Night. So the Gemara is sort of putting associations of night. You know, dogs are barking. And then as the morning comes, the husband and wife are talking to each other. It's a more sort of, you know, pleasant, looking forward to the morning. Now the Gemara says like this. That's very much on earth. What's going on in heaven? Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel, Mishmei D'Rav. So Rav Yitzchak is also very important. Gemara always quotes its sources. It will go back 3-4 generations. Gemara is very precise. Who said what? So Rav Yitzchak the son of Shmuel quoted the name of Rav. Rav is the first generation of Amoraim. He's the transition generation between Tanaim and Amorim means Amar. Amar Rav. It's not like Tznan. Tznan, Rabbi Akiva Omer, because he's in the Mishnah. Amar Rav. Rav's an Amora. But he's the transitional, you know, generation. So Rav Yitzchak is obviously after him. Gilma Mishmar Havelila. There are three watches at night. Ba'kol Mishmar u'Mishmar Yoshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And each one of these watches, God, as we saw before, Shoei Kari, is roaring like a lion. Ba'omer, what does he say? Oy libanim, woe unto my children, she'avanotehem hechrafti et beiti, because of their sins, I destroyed their house. My house, the Beit HaMikdash, beiti beit vila, v'sarafti et heichali, I burned my courtyard, v'higleitim lebein umat olam, and I dispersed them among the nations. Now, what's a little bit difficult about the language? Oy libanim, oh, terrible for the children, right? The children are the Jewish people. Because of their sins, I had to do all this. So if you look, as I also point out, this is not the original. This is, I don't know, mistaken, a censored version. In the original versions of the Talmud, it's oily. It's a subtle but very important difference. God is not saying woe unto the children, because children, woe unto me that I destroyed the temple. God is upset at himself, kiviyachol, so to speak, not oy lebanim, woe to the children, woe to me that I destroyed my temple. The idea that God suffers with the Jewish people. Okay, Tanya, we learned in a break. The Amar Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi was a student of Rabbi Akiva. So we're talking towards the end of the second century or so. So we're talking 100 years after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, as we'll see. Pam achad, one time, once upon a time, hayti melech b'derech, I was walking in the street, v'niknasti l'churban, I went into a ruin. Walk today, there are ruins all over the place in Israel. Achad mechorvot Yerushalayim, one of the ruins of Jerusalem, nitpalo, I had to go and daven, so I went to behind the rock somewhere. Ba Eliyahu zachur latov. Like, no big deal. He happens to be there. Eliyahu, whatever this means, Eliyahu comes. Remember for good. V'shamar li al ha-petach. He waited for me. I was in the middle of davening. He wasn't going to talk to me in the middle of davening. He willished until I finished. V'himtim li. And he waited. Ad she'siyamti tfilati, till I finished. Lachar she'siyamti tfilati, when I finished davening, amar li Eliyahu said to me, Rav Yossi is telling the story about himself, Shalom alecha, Rabbi. How do you do, Rabbi? Bamarti lo, Shalom alecha, Rabbi Amori. I answered, hello to you. Welcome to my teacher and master. Bamar li and Eliyahu said to me, Bini, my child, mipnei ma ta nichnasa l'chur bazu. Why did you enter into this room? Amarti lo, li palel. I had to go and I went down in the middle of the street, so I went there to daven. Amar lo, amar li, he said to me, hayala l'chi palel b'derech. You should have davened on the street. Bamarti lo, I said to him, mityarei hayiti shema yifsekubi ofrei derachim. I was afraid passersby in the street are going to, you know, look at me and gonna, who knows what they're going to do to me. Now, Tosva points out, he didn't say his life was in danger. He didn't say he was afraid he was going to, his life was in danger. Just said the people would look at him, it'd be strange. I'll get back to that in 1 minute, I hope. Vamrali hayalachi palel tfilak sara. You should have davened on the street, A, and you should have davened the tfilak sara. So what does a tfilak sara mean? Right, what does that mean in practice? So the Gemara has two shortened types of tefillah, which we'll get to in the fourth parak. One is what we call Havinenu. Havinenu, according to some Tanaim, that's what everybody should say every day. We don't practice that. People would like that. Havinenu is a three words. You say the first three brachot, the last three brachot of the Shemoneh Esrei. Havinenu Hashem, I don't remember the whole Nosach, and basically take three words from each bracha and you combine the 13 little brachot into one. So you cut down the Shemoneh Esrei by 75%. You say Havinenu, and the Gemara assumes most people, it's too hard to daven Shemoneh Esrei to think, they don't know what I mean, just say Havinenu, it's a lot easier. So that's one type of Tfilak Zara. There's a second Tfilak Zara.
I think the Reform movement follows that Shemoneh.
Okay. Sarchei Amcha Merubim. Oh, by the way, a lot of the stuff. The Reform movement also was halachic when it first started. Of course, now they don't have any connection to halakha, really. But even though it's more observant than the radical reform, but yes, they a lot of the things they do, I mentioned on Shabbos, a lot of the conservative shuls daven at 6 o'clock in the summer before plugging in. So that's the first truvin, the Truman Adeshan I mentioned on Shabbos. In Orthodox, there was no orthodoxy. The communities in Germany were davening at 6 o'clock, coming home, or who knows when they were davening, way before plugging mincha. Truman Adeshan, the new rabbi in town, asked Truman Adeshan, what should he do? Should he make a big fight in shul? It's like davening in the summer at 6 o'clock, mincha on Friday, when Shabbos is until 9 o'clock. You can't daven so early. Should he make a fight? So Truman Adeshan, well, maybe it's not so bad. You have a lot of things, that's just the way it goes. Anyways.
Why did Eliyahu HaNavi say you should daven in the street?
Okay, we're going to see in a moment. Hold on. The Gemara is going to talk about that. The other one is Tzarchei Amcha Merubim, it's even less. The needs of the people are great. Please save us. So the Gemara says that you say in a time of danger, when you really don't have time. You have like half a second, you're praying for your life. So that's what Tosva points out here. He says here, this is Havinenu. Because his life wasn't in danger. Whatever, he was just saying it was uncomfortable to daven in the street. But he told daven a much shortened davening. Tvilaksara, Boto Sha'a, so Rav Yossi comments, Lamadati Mimenu Shloshadrim. I learned three things. Lamadati She'ein Nichnasim L'Churba. I learned that you do not enter into a room. I learned you can daven on the street. I thought you had to go to a room, an enclosed room, to daven. No, you can daven on the street. But if you're going to daven on the street, you're daven at the airport. So don't sit there for an hour. You daven a short tefillah. I'm imagining the assumption is because it's not realistic to think that a person can concentrate on the street in a busy market for a long time. So daven less. So you can concentrate. That's why it shouldn't daven a long tefillah. In shul, you can daven a long tefillah, not in the street. But you should daven in the street and not in a room. Vamar li. So that's what Rav Yossi said. We'll come back to that. Vamar li. So Eliyahu HaNavi continued talking to Rav Yossi. Bini ma kol shamata b'churba. What voice did you hear in the room? Zu v'amarti lo. I heard shamati bat kol. I heard a heavenly voice. Shemina mahemet. I didn't know how to translate that word. It's like, ooh. Humming or whistling in the wind, kiyona, like a dove. How does a dove talk? Whatever. Berem beremet oily banim, the same idea, or oily. Woe unto my children, or woe unto me. Shavonotehem, because of their sins, hecharafti et beiti, sarafti et hechali, higlitim ben omod. I had to destroy the temple and exile them. But that's what I heard. Vamarli. So Eliyahu Navi told me, you have this a lot. I wrote this, my last piece I wrote in Daf Yomi in the last cycle. On Amida, the Gemara ends, Tana Dvei Eliyahu. Eliyahu HaNavi is always fine in the Gemara. He always reports what God is doing. And probably because Eliyahu didn't die a natural death. He sort of, went up to the heavens. So Eliyahu in rabbinic literature is viewed as this person who sort of goes between the two worlds, between this world and the next world. And he reports, after the famous story with Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua on Torah Lo B'Shamayim. So they met and they asked, what was God doing? The walls were coming in, the river was flowing backwards. So he said, God was smiling and saying, Nitzchuni Banai Nitzchuni, my children have defeated me. So he reports what God does. Eliyahu Navi tells people what God is doing, whatever that means. Vamar li, chayecha v'chayei roshka. You don't understand. On your life and on the life of your head. Lo shazu b'bad. You think God only says that when you're in the room. V'omerakach ele v'chol yom v'yom. Every day, shalosh pamim omerakach. The same way we daven three times a day. God davens three times a day, so to speak. God three times a day, or the three mishmarot at night. God is, and it has to be at night, God is very upset, and he's saying how terrible it is. Velozu bilvad, and not only this, whenever the Jewish people go into shuls and base medrashim, Yeheshme Hagadol Mivarach, Yeheshme Rav Mivarach. Tosva points out, what does it mean, Yeheshme Rav Mivarach? How do you translate that? How do you translate Yeheshme Rav Mivarach?
May
the name be blessed. So Tosfot says, no, that's not what it means. That's exactly what he says. That's the error he wants to correct. He says, may the great name be blessed. It's not that may God become great. It's may the great name of God become blessed. Yeheshme Rabbah, the name that is already great, should become Nivarach. It's not, a lot of people assume it means may the name be great, especially that's why after Kaddish, sort of God's been diminished, the person died, so we're praying for the restoration of God. But Tosfos says that's not what it means. He says it means may the name, great name of God become blessed. Okay, just interesting. And he says, why is it in Aramaic? He says, because the original Kaddish was said after learning, and for normal people, he says, "Achar hadrasha." After the rabbi gave a drush and tshuva, "Yasham amayaratzot." The last line on top. They were ignorant people. Kulam lashon hakodesh. They didn't know Hebrew. They put Aramaic was the English of the day, so they put it in Aramaic so people would understand it. Anyway, when the Jewish people say "Yesh meimaravach," a kaddish baruch min anei rosho, he nods his head. Blessed is the king who they praise him in his house. In other words, it's wonderful when the Jewish people can praise God, and it's terrible that we had to be exiled. Okay, now the Gemara is going to go back. What's wrong with going to a room? It's also interesting. There's three reasons you can't go into a room. Mifnei chashad. What's mifnei chashad? We're afraid. What are we afraid of? So Rashi explains. There's a prostitute. Shema yamru zona muchenet lo shem. He's got his prostitute waiting there. Who's going to come into the room? Most people don't want to go there. They're afraid of what's going to happen. So he tells the prostitute to go there, and he'll meet her there. But it said, some people go to room to daven, and some people go to hang out with a prostitute. Okay. And even if he's not, we're afraid. It's a married ayin. It's a married ayin that people will say there is a prostitute. That's how Rashi explains it. Nechashad. I turned the mirror, everything. Mifnei hamapolet, it might fall down. It's dangerous. Mifnei hamazikin, demons, whatever that means, viruses. That was very common in the Gemara, that they had this notion that in places, all kinds of forces working on you. However you want to, if you want to, or want explain it in modern terms, we'll leave for another time. So the Gemara says, why do you need all three reasons? Mifnei chashad, v'tefe klei mishum mapolet. Just say, because it might fall down. The dangerous is the most important reason. So the Gemara says, b'chadate. No, it just fell down. We're not afraid. There's nothing left to fall down. There's no fear of any danger. V'tefe klei mishum mazikin. So just say, because of mazikin. They don't like this reason of chashad. So they said, betray. The mazikin, these forces only attack people. It makes sense. You're alone at night. If you're with somebody else at night, you are protected. Betray. So the Gemara says, "I betray chashad namilika." So if he's two people, he's not going to have a prostitute waiting for his, with somebody else. So you don't have that reason either. So they say, "No, like betray upritse." Depends on the generation you live in. Depends who the people are. Sometimes two people will go to one prostitute, one after another. They're not embarrassed to go one. It's amazing. They go one after another. So we have to be afraid of that. Normally not, but that might happen. So the Gemara says, okay, the reason's going to fall. What do you need that reason? Mishum chashadu mazikin. You have the two other reasons. So now you have two people, so there's no chashad, and they're kosher people. They're not going to go to a prostitute with somebody else. Mifnei hamazikin, the demons, are typically mifnei hachashadu mapolet. Use the other two reasons. Bechurba chadati. Again, it's a new one. And we're not afraid that anything is going to happen. And with two people who are kosher. So I betray, so the Gemara says, if you have two, then you don't have any demons either. Mazikin namileka. Bimkoman chashina. It depends. Some places, the demons attack even two people. You could argue you're talking one person over churba chadati. The kabedabra, or you're in the field. The hata mishum chashat leka. Very interesting. The Gemara makes an assumption. Maybe this rune is out in the suburbs, out in the field, somewhere in the farm. And you don't have prostitutes out there. The prostitutes hang out in the city. So you don't have to worry about the reason of chashad. But the further away you are from the city, the more demons there might be. That's what the Gemara says. Anyways, the Gemara has three different reasons why you shouldn't go into ruin. Some of the commentaries, of course, obviously there's it's symbolic meaning to this whole story about going into the ruin. It's after the destruction of the temple, whatever. But that's what the Gemara says. You shouldn't rebuilding the ruins of Yerushalayim. That's a common theme after the destruction. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, Arba Mishmarot Havelayla. Four watches. Back to this argument. How many watches at night? So now the Gemara goes back. Let it often does. Tana Rabbanan, generally it means it's a Tosefta. Tanan is a Mishnah, Tanya is a Breita, Tana Rabbanan's a Tosefta. That's Shaul Lieberman that wrote his famous work on Tosefta. That's another layer. I don't know enough to know the distinctions exactly between the Breitas and Toseftas, but Tosefta we have a lot. So Tosefta is generally printed in the back of the Gemara. It means additions, right? Anyways, so we learned in the Tosefta, Arba Mishmarot HaVeilayla, Divrei Rebbe, not Divrei Rebbe. This is the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi, Rav Natan Omer, Omer Shalosh, three. Okay, my time of the Rav Natan. Why does Rav Natan say three? Dichtiv, Vayavo Gidon, this is during one of the wars, and in Shoftim, Vayavo Gidon, Umeya Ish Asher Ito B'Kseya Machaneh. Gidon went to fight a war with 100 people. God told him he'll win with a small army. Rosh HaAshmurat HaTichona. The beginning of the head of the, how do you pronounce it, Tichona? Rosh, the head of the Ashmurat, I'm sorry? Right, the head of the middle. So if Tana ain't Tichona, Ela Sheish Lefanev Alachara, a middle means you have three, one at the beginning, one at the end. The Rebbe, my Tichona, what does Rebbe say? Achad Mina, a Tichona, two middles. You have four kids, so kids two and three are the middle kids, not, you can have two middles. Tichona should be Tichona. Rav Natan says, no, it doesn't say Tichona. Michtiv Tichona should be Tichonot. Tichona, it's one middle. Okay, very nice. My Tama de Rabbi, my Tama de Rabbi, Amar Zikr, Amar Ravami, Amar Vishua ben Levi, Katuba Chadomer. Why does he say four? So one pasuk says, we'll see, Chatzot halayla akum lehodot lecha al mishpatei tzidkecha. This song, David HaMelech says, he wakes up at midnight. I wake up at midnight, chatzot halayla, lehodot lecha, to give honor to you, to praise you, al mishpatei tzidkach, on your righteous way. V'katuv achad omer, kidmu einai ashmorat. I wake up before the ashmorats in plural. So there have to be four. There have to be two mishmorat left. So kidmu ashmorat, you have to have two mishmorat after midnight. So the only way, and it gets up at midnight. So the only way you can do that, there are four mishmorat at night. So that's what the Gemara says. HaKeitzad, Arba Mishmarot, HaVeilayla. Rav Natan Savar, so what does Rav Natan do with this pasuk? Savar Leik, Rav Yeshua. Ditnan Rav Yeshua Omer, Ad Shalosh Sha'ot. No, it says, the two Mishmarot are we going into the morning, right? Why can we say Kriyat Shema till 9 o'clock in the morning, by the way? I say, thank God we don't follow the view of Rav Yeshua. We've been doing when you can say Kriyat Shema at night. So in the morning, you can say Kriyat Shema Mishayakirat Ben Chelet Lekarti, when you can tell the difference between blue and green. So that's generally assumed to be about 40 minutes before sunrise, which today is about 7:10. It means that there are halakhic issues when it was 6:30 minutes, 6:40 minutes. Oh, the same way they announce at night, you know, I'm Friday after repeat Kriyat Shema. So anybody goes to 6:30 minyan, get it. You got to go to 6:30 minyan. You have to say Kriyat Shema over again. You probably didn't fulfill the obligation to say Kriyat Shema. Maybe there's other opinions, but if it's before, it's not Amud HaShachar that you can daven an Amud HaShachar 6:30. Whenever Amud HaShachar is, that's for Shmon Esrei Tefillah. But Shema is a different system. So anyways, you can start say Shema ben karti lelaban, between blue and green. Some say ben chelet lelaban, between karti and chelet. Until when can you say Kriyat Shema? So one opinion is ad ha-netzachama, until netzachama. So it means once it's they break, you can't say once, how do you say netzachama in the morning? Not dawn. Sunrise. Once it's sunrise, that's it, Kriyat Shema. Wow. It means in the summer, you got to get up at 5 o'clock to say Kriyat Shema. Thank God we don't follow that opinion. So we follow the opinion, you can say it till 3 hours. Why only till 5:30 in the morning, till sunrise? Because then everybody got up at the crack of dawn. Should the halakha change? That's a whole different question. Now that's not, we don't get up like that way anymore, right? The reason we can say it to 3 hours because kings would sleep until 3 hours. King would sleep in, and in Israel, all the Jewish people are like kings. So we're allowed to say Kriyat Shema 3 hours a day. That's why, that's our core reason. So David HaMelech says, well, look at me. I get up at midnight, and the kings, they get up at 9 o'clock in the morning, lazy bums. Got 8 hours from midnight till 8 in the morning. 8 in the morning, it's the beginning of the third hour, so the first kings are beginning to get up. Okay, Rav Asher Mar Mishmara Paganami Mishmara Karali. Or you can say it's one and a half. No, it's also Mishmarot. Okay, he gets up in the middle of the second Mishmar. Just interesting. I don't know, the Gemara, and it sounds a little bit strange that who cares? Three Mishmarot, four Mishmarot, but the Gemara seems they're marking time through the night. Amar Rav Zreka, Amar Rav Ami, Amar Rav Yishua ben Levi. As you'll notice, this topic apparently has nothing to do with the previous one. It's just who said it. Whenever the Gemara quotes like strange people, it's not going to quote everything Rav said, but when you have it in the question, Rav Zreka and the name of Rav Ami and the name of Yishua ben Levi doesn't appear so often in the Talmud, so they're going to put them all together. So they're going to go, Ein omri mipnei ha-meit, ela dvar Rav shel meit. They're probably, I always say there is a connection, even though theoretically there's no connection, there is a connection. Nighttime and death are related, right? So he says, you're not allowed to talk before a dead person, ela dvar Rav shel meit. A person died, you're preparing for the funeral, so you can only talk in the room where the dead body is about the funeral arrangements, as far as shall a mate. So Amar Rava Barkan, Alo Amran Ela B'divrei Torah. This is only talking about, what are you not allowed to talk about Torah? You're not allowed to talk Torah in front of a dead person. Why? Just like you're not allowed to do a mitzvah in a cemetery. People who wear their tzitzis when they go to a cemetery are obligated to tuck in their tzitzis. You cannot dub it in a cemetery. Cannot make a brach in a cemetery. Why not? You're making fun of the dead people. Lo eg laresh, Karevah said. They can't do the mitzvah, so I'm sort of lording over the dead people. So I can't do any Torah. Val mile de alma, talking about baseball, stum, or the stock market, things that not related. That has nothing to do. Dead person, who cares? That's not the important things in life. So you can talk about that in front of a dead body. Lake Lanban, not so bad.
Why can you say Tehillim?
That's sometimes a little bit of a problem what people do. You're not allowed to daven. Different.
Like Shmira, when you do Shmira.
No, so that's not davening. Tehillim is not davening. Davening means Shmon Esrei. Tehillim is praising God. Tehillim has all kinds of different aspects, and that's why we say Tehillim all the time. There was happy moments, sad moments, got everything. But that's not davening. You're just, it's the same way on Tisha B'Av. Like people who read Tehillim, I think the halakha is they can do that on Tisha B'Av. It's not considered learning. It's sort of considered just a routine. But it is a problem. Sometimes people go to cemeteries and they sometimes cross that line between, you're not allowed to daven to dead people to take your prayers to Shemaim. That's sort of idolatrous. So you have to be very careful. And in the yeshivish world, they're very strict. The Hasidic world was very, very loose on these ideas, and they stretched it very, very much. We were in Morocco in the summer. Moroccan Jewry, some people would consider what they do idolatry. They go to the graves of the great Sadiqim, in the Sephardic world in Morocco, and they daven there at the this and that one. It's something that someone who grew up here in Lakewood would feel uncomfortable with. They daven to them to bring. Now they mean it to daven to God. They're their intermediary to God. But it's but you're not allowed to do a mitzvah in front of a dead person because it's making fun of him in a sense. So the ika damre, some say very interesting. Lo amran ela afilu b'divrei Torah. In other words, okay, I can't talk Torah in front of a dead person. I can't talk Torah. How much more so can't I talk, Narishkeit? I can't talk on stock market, that's for sure. I'm not even allowed to talk Torah. So that's an interesting machloket, what you're allowed to do. Okay. So now we're back to this. But David Bepalka Delilah, who Havekai. What do you mean David Melech got up at midnight? Meyurta Hukai, he got up in the morning before, way earlier. Dichtiv Kidamti Beneshef Ishavea. I got up even before. At the earliest time, and I cried out to God. We might hi nefesh urta. How do you know nefesh means urta, like the beginning of the night? Like he basically didn't go to sleep. Dichti b'neshef be'erev yom, b'neshef be'erev, at the beginning of the night, b'shon laila, and then b'shon laila, v'afela. So neshef is the early part of the night. So David HaMelech says, I got up early. I didn't wait till midnight to get up. This is what he meant. I never slept in past midnight. I never go to bed before midnight, but okay. I never slept past midnight. Rav Zeira Mar, so Rav Zeira says, so what did he do? Al-Chatzor ha-Layliya mitnam neim kisus. I don't know exactly how a horse sleeps, but David HaMelech would, he would doze off. That's what the commentary, he doze off like a horse. It's a half asleep, half up, you know, like people in Shir or whatever. Mikan ve'elech hayam mikaver ka'ari. Then he woke up like a lion, roar like a lion. He's ready to go at midnight. Rav Ashi Amar al-Chatzor ha-Layliya osek b'divrei Torah. He was learning Torah. The Gemara assumes, Gemara says that night is set aside for Torah. The Rambam writes, if you want to become a Talmud Chacham, you learn at night. Night is time for Torah. Daytime, you have to work. Daytime, people are busy. Night, you have to learn all the time. And especially, there was nothing else going on at night. So night was the opportunity to become a great Torah scholar. So he says, Ad Chatzor Alei Yosek V'Dei V'Ektorah Mikan Ve'elech B'Shirot V'Tishvot. Then he sang the concert, the Hillel. He would sing Mizmor LeDavid the rest of the night. Very interesting, the combination, Torah and Shira, which go together. The Torah is called a Shira. The Torah itself describes itself. The mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah is Kitvu Lachem et HaShira HaZot. They're not so opposite. So V'Neshef Ur Tehave, HaNesh, what do you mean Neshef is the beginning of the evening? Neshef Tzafra, it's the morning. V'Kli V'Yakem David, and one of the wars, I mean HaNeshef HaRev. So suddenly from the morning till the evening, L'machratam. My love meets Safra ad Laila, from the morning to the day. No, me urta ad urta, from night to night. So if it's from night to night, ichachi lichtua me neshev ad neshev. Don't use two different words if it's for 24 hours. O me ha erev ad erev, or night to night. Elam arava, tre nefashe hevi. That means just before the time. Hayan neshev Laila, vati yomema. Neshev Yamav Atalila. So you have, it could mean the beginning of the day or the beginning of the night. I don't know. Do we have a term for that in English? It can mean, I don't know. Anyways, so the Gemara, V'David mi hava yad palka delilah. This is, I think, a well-known Gemara. How did David know when it was midnight? How did he know? How in the world does somebody know when it's midnight? To know when it's midday, you have a sundial. To know when it's midnight, that's impossible. So, Amat. Hashta Moshe Rabbeinu lo hayavayada. Even Moshe didn't know. How do you know Moshe didn't know when it was midnight? When it says by the Exodus, kechatzot halayla, around midnight will be the makat bechorat. Ani yotzei b'toch Mitzrayim. My kechatzot, what do you mean like kechatzot? Ilema damar lekutcha brichu kechatzot. You think God told them around midnight? Approximately midnight. No. Mika sveka kamashmaya. God had no doubt. God knows exactly when midnight. Ela damar le bichatzot ki hashta vati verma kichatzot. God told him at midnight, and he went and said around midnight, because he didn't know what midnight was. Telling the people, no one's going to know what midnight is. Alma mesapkale. He was in doubt. The David Havayada. So if Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know, how would David HaMelech, God's even talking to Moshe Rabbeinu directly, how could David know? Simana Havele, he had a marker. Damar Rav Acha Bar Bizna, Damar Rav Shimon Chasida, Kinor, he had a harp, right? A Kinor's a harp? Yeah?
It's a little tradition violin, but it could be here.
Yeah, and whatever, a nice, beautiful instrument. Hayat Talui Lamala Mimitato, on top of his bed. Shel David, v'kevan shigia chatzot halayla, midnight. So I don't exactly know either. Baruch ruchzvani, the northern winds came at night. They were very attuned to the winds would come, I guess, at certain times of year in certain directions. Vino shevet lo, and it would blow. Brushy explained, they would set up the harp in a certain way. They knew the direction of the wind. People were much more sensitive to nature than we are. And it would blow. Minage me'elab, mi'era yomei, v'osek b'torah. Now here he has it slightly different. This is one opinion was he learned Torah till midnight, then he sang songs. One opinion was he dozed off till midnight, then he got up and he learned. Different opinions. Nobody really knows. The idea of what is the night for? For praising God, for learning Torah, for sleeping, you know, all of them. So here he's saying, Miyada omeid vosek v'torah shala mut hashachar until dawn. Keman shala mut hashachar. When it was dawn, nichnasu chachmei Israel. This is unbelievable what goes on now. The wise people of Israel say, Amrulu Adonainu, David HaMelech is the king, right? He's in charge of he's the finance minister. Adonainu HaMelech, master king. Amcha Yisrael tzrichim parnasa. We're poor. We don't have any money. The economy's in recession. Amar lechem lechubi parnasu zezu. Go into business. You buy from him, buy and sell, trade with each other. So Amrulu, principle in economics, ein hakometz mashpia et ha'ari. A kometz is a handful, right? On the core, A korban mincha, you had to take flour on the mizbeach. When you brought a korban mincha, you had to take a handful of flour, put it in the mizbeach. A kometz, a handful of food, doesn't satisfy a lion. A lion needs much more than a handful of food. This, how much can we trade? We have no economy here. The economy, it's an old backward city, Jerusalem. What the economy is going on here? So we can't survive. We can't. It's not enough to get the economy growing. They ain't. And he said a second, ain't a bor mit malei michul yotav. The way Rashi explains it, a pit doesn't fill up from its sand. If you dig a hole in the pit and you put the sand back in, it won't be the same. Things go missing. In other words, we can't support. This ain't going to work. We need an economic plan. So he's going to say something that sounds really unbelievable. Amar lehem lechu pishtu yechem bigdud. Go to the military. Go start a war. War is always good for the economy. Causes production. Go to the army. And, capture other countries. Be aggressive and you'll take out the economy of Syria, which David Melech did do. He captured Syria, whatever. Miyad, so the people went out, Yotzi, we need time. This is why the film is being very fast, okay. Miyad, Yotzim b'Achitofel. So they went to Achitofel, one of the advisors of David Melech, v'nimlachim b'Sanhedrin, and they asked the rabbis in the Sanhedrin, Misholim b'Ur Mitumim, the Kohen's hot play, we'll finish in 1 minute. Amar, what to do? Amar of Yossi Maikra, how do you know this? V'acharei Achitofel b'nai ben Yodiyah v'Abiyatar, Tzartzival HaMelech Yoav. These are the people who are surrounding David HaMelech. Achitofel zu Yowetz. Achitofel was the one who gave him advice. V'chadi b'atzat, atzat Achitofel, asher yatz b'yimimim, kashir yishal ish b'davar alhim. He was the one who told, he was his advisor, like every king. And the b'nai ben Yodiyah is the Sanhedrin. We continue tomorrow. That's what the Gemara says. Well, perfect time. Okay, thank you. Yeah, that's fast. 45 minutes, okay, but Yashar Koach. Yes. Hashem Davins, the Gemara later on, I think Dav Zayin or so, is going to say that Hashem Davins, Umikam Chai Yisrael, God wears tefillin. So what's in our tefillin says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and in God's tefillin says, Umikam Chai Yisrael, Goyecha Baretz. The Jewish people are wonderful. Then the Gemara says, you know what he davins? You know what God's davening? We'll see it on Friday or Shabbos when we get there, hopefully, please God. He davins that his attribute of mercy should overpower his attribute of justice, and they should act nifli mishur adin, which is what we should daven for. That's what God davens. Okay, we'll continue. Okay, Yashar Koach, do you have a minyan? Otherwise, we can go ahead. Exactly, a minyan. Okay, Yashar Koach, everybody. Okay, whoa.